This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We are again going to go around the country. We are going to go to Lawrence, Kansas. We're also going to go to Columbia, Missouri, and wrap up both team seasons. As yesterday, the Missouri Tigers were eliminated from the NCAA tournament. The Kansas Jayhawks were eliminated from the NCAA tournament. We're going to do a little bit different of an open today. We're going to split it. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the Missouri Tigers. Rob's going to give you his thoughts on the Kansas Jayhawks. Rob, I'm guessing that your Thursday night was kind of like mine. I was so focused in on my squad, I kept an eye on KU, but I didn't watch KU with the keenness that I normally would. You were probably the exact same way for the Missouri Tigers. Now, it's a little bit different. Your team started a little bit earlier, so you had more of a window to yourself. But I'm imagining you were hyper-focused on your Jayhawks. We'll talk Mizzou. We'll talk KU. We'll take a journey to all of these schools as college basketball season is officially over in Kansas City. And next week, we will start our transition to baseball and get you ready for opening day, which is next Thursday. Before we do any of that, let me remind you guys that I need you to do a couple of favors for me. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you could tell two friends about the show, but you know what? I'm not going to bother you. If you could just tell one friend to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it if you did that. Let's start with the Missouri Tigers. Now, this is not going to be I told you so about the Drake Bulldogs, because I told you back in December I thought that Drake was a team that was capable of winning a game or two in the NCAA tournament. We had a topic 2 weeks ago that I told you that if Bill Self decides to retire, that Ben McCollum, the head coach of Drake, should be the first call that KU makes. This is not going to be any of that. This is about a team that at the end of the season fell apart in the Missouri Tigers. There was a stretch there where Missouri was trending to be a top 10 team in the NCAA tournament. This is a team that we were discussing had the possibility of being a 3 or a 4 seed. And this team ended up being a 6 seed and never really led yesterday against the mid-major. There is one very simple point to me with Missouri, and then we'll get to KU. It comes down to defense. Missouri in the month of March didn't play defense well enough to be able to advance themselves in the NCAA tournament. That is no disrespect to Drake and what they did, and we'll certainly talk about it from their perspective. I thought Bennett Sturts was a wizard yesterday. I thought that Ben McCollum neutralizing some of the advantages that Missouri had in that matchup was phenomenal and furthered my point that I think he is one of the best coaches in college basketball. Missouri let that team shoot 53% from the field yesterday. That's not a team that wants to run up and down the court. That's not a team that can shoot you out of the building. They shot 54.3% from the field yesterday. In the month of March, I added up all the shots. Teams against Missouri shot 50% from the field. You're not advancing in the NCAA tournament if you can't get stops, especially if you were going to compound that with Missouri scored 57 points yesterday. They made 7 shots in the first half of the game. We can talk about Dennis Gates and some of the execution issues that I think Missouri had yesterday, but sometimes, man, basketball is a very simple go get yourself a bucket. Ben McCollum didn't draw up the 3 for Bennett Sturts. A great player made a great shot to help his team advance. A great player made a great play throwing an alley-oop to put an exclamation point on one of the more impressive performances so far that we've seen in the early part of the NCAA tournament. Basketball is not football. You cannot script every single offensive play. At some point, you got to have a guy that can go get you a bucket. At some point, you got to go get a guy that you think can stop buckets. And Missouri yesterday could not do any of those things, not in the second half. Drake scored 37 points in the second half of that game. That's not the kind of game that they want to play. They're not a run up and down the court, run and gun kind of team. Drake scored 70 points in a game 3 times this season. They scored 67 yesterday against Missouri. So there were a lot of things that went wrong with Mizzou, a lot of individual issues, whether it was Mark Mitchell, who was 2 for 8 from the field, whether it was Anthony Robinson, who got completely outplayed at point guard, was 0 for 5 from the field. Caleb Grill, that was 1 of 7 from 3, despite being one of the best 3-point shooters in the country. Missouri shot 25% from 3. Missouri didn't make enough buckets to win yesterday. And sometimes basketball is simple. It's a make or miss game. You got to have guys that can go out there and make shots. And Missouri just quite frankly didn't make enough shots yesterday to win the game. They made 15 baskets over a 40-minute game. The thing that kept Missouri in that game for as long as it was free throws. If you're going to get 23 points from the line and you're going to outscore your opponent by 11, you're going to give yourself a chance late. And Missouri had a chance late. This was a 1-point game with 4 minutes to go. The crowd begging, pleading for Missouri to come back and make plays. Turnover, missed floater from T.O. Barrett, a bad 3 from Wart coming off the bench. And on the other side, it was a team that made winning plays. Bennett Sturts with the 3-pointer, another assist on a Cam Manyal layup, the alley-oop at the end of the game. There was a stark difference in how the teams handled the pressure and intensity of March. Drake never panicked yesterday. Very calm, very collected. Didn't get rattled by anything that happened. They made enough plays late, and they are advancing to take on Texas Tech in the second round of the NCAA tournament. That is the Missouri side of yesterday. Let me pass things off to my dear brother here, Rob Brenton. Arkansas with the 79-72 win yesterday over the Kansas Jayhawks. What happened yesterday with your alma mater?
Yesterday for Kansas was emblematic of all the problems they have faced, and they showed up in one singular game. What fans have complained about for Kansas all season long is in some form or fashion the following things: turnovers, flawed roster, Hunter Dickinson. if you were to poll 100 Kansas fans, hey, what are the three biggest complaints you have with this Kansas team? They would tell you they turn the ball over too much, the roster pieces don't fit, and Hunter Dickinson is a point of frustration for Kansas fans. And all three were on display last night. Let's start with Hunter Dickinson, because I fell for the gambit with Hunter Dickinson. When he committed 2 years ago, I was excited. I was excited most of last season. I defended him. He was an 18-10 guy. Most of this season, I defended him because he's an 18-10 guy. But I turned midseason because I saw what other fans were seeing and the frustrations they had. I finally saw it. Last night, I get it. All week, me, other Kansas fans, we had Michael Swain on the show. We had Jackson Collier, who covers Arkansas, on the show. All of them, to a man, were explaining Hunter Dickinson has a massive advantage inside. Arkansas is weak in the front court. They got a couple big bodies, but they can't defend. They can't score. It should be a Hunter Dickinson game. It was not a Hunter Dickinson game. He couldn't score over them at all. He only had 11 points. He couldn't defend to save his life. Adu, the transfer from Tennessee last night, he looked like an All-American. He had 20. Hunter Dickinson was helpless defensively against him. Just honestly, he may have been screaming mouse in the house when Adu had the ball, because there was nothing Hunter Dickinson could do. That's number one. Number two, turnovers. Kansas has had a massive problem this season with turnovers, which is mind-numbing for a team that is so veteran-led. Zeke Mayo's a senior. DeJuan Harris is a 17-year senior. All they are veteran-led. They turn the ball over at a high rate. You could argue one of the reasons they got beat by Mizzou this year is because they turned the ball over so gosh darn always in Columbia. Well, you know what their last 4 minutes of possessions looked like last night? They got the lead 67-64 with the under four media timeout. Turnover, 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 ball game. Leading by three with three to go, a senior-laden roster with a sixth-year point guard should not fold and crumble like that. It was a turnover, a palooza. They had the problem in the first half, but they survived it. The last 4 minutes of the game, they couldn't hold on to the basketball. It's like there was Vaseline on it. Just awful to watch. And the third problem, and it is the problem that has plagued the team all season, it's a flawed roster. DeJuan Harris is going to go down as an enigma in Kansas history because the last 2 years have soured people, even though he won a national title. But he's the same guy now that he was when he showed up on campus. He can't shoot. He has a little bit of a turnover problem. He's solid defensively. He's a pass-first point guard. KJ Adams, who I do feel bad, suffered a major injury last night. You never want to see that for a senior in their final game. But he is a 6'7 post guy who is alley-oop only. He can't really get his own bucket. Couldn't do it last night, especially against length with Arkansas. Hunter Dickinson, I've pointed out. And then Zeke Mayo, he thinks he can dribble. He can't. It's a spot-and-shoot kind of player, but he doesn't spot-and-shoot. Rylan Griffin was brought in to be a spot-shooter. He doesn't shoot or make shots at a high enough level. A.J. Storr is just out there getting cardio for his 15 minutes a game. He was brought in to be a scorer. It just... all the issues you've seen for Kansas all season long were highlighted last night. Frustrations with Hunter Dickinson, turnover issues, and finally a flawed roster. So time to get to work for both Bill Self and Dennis Gates, because you got to turn the roster over and be back next season, because expectations don't change at Kansas. But last night was infuriating because all the same things plagued Kansas.
If you want to look at one stretch in the KU game, they were up 67-64 late in the ball game. It was 3:13 on the clock. They were up, and everybody is subbing back in. This is Bill Self going with your best five. Let's close this game out, and let's advance to the next round to go play St. John's. This is at the 3:10 mark. KJ Adams comes back into the game. Flory comes in. This is it. They had five turnovers the rest of the way. They have five turnovers the rest of the way and made one shot. You are not advancing if that is the case. March is simple. It's hard to execute, but March is simple. Can you take care of the basketball? Can you defend? Can you knock down shots? If you can figure out a way to do all of those things, as simple as it may sound, you got a chance of advancing in this tournament. Missouri didn't make nearly enough shots. KU didn't take nearly care of the basketball enough for you to think that you're going to beat a quality opponent like Arkansas, a team that was ranked in the preseason. Coming up on the other side, we're going to bounce back and forth today between MU and KU. We're going to head out to Columbia, Missouri to be joined by Sam Snelling to recap Missouri's loss yesterday to Drake. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are going to bounce back and forth between Missouri and Kansas as college basketball season has come to a close. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our first guest today. Coming up in a bit, we'll give you an update on everything that has happened so far in day 2 of the NCAA tournament. But let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Sam Snelling. He does fantastic work for Rock M Nation, a must-go-to website if you cheer for the Missouri Tigers. Sam, how you doing today, my man?
Doing all right, C-Dad. How are you?
Doing great, man. Let's just start with this. If you had to pinpoint one thing, I guess maybe not one thing, but what was the thing that most failed Missouri yesterday? What was the biggest thing that they did wrong last night?
Well, yeah, that's tough. I think, you know, we talked before the game, and I said that if Missouri makes shots and plays sound defensively, doesn't turn the ball over, they should be all right. And they did none of those things. So, to be frank, it's really hard to win in March when you struggle to shoot the ball. That's not been an issue for Missouri all season. They've always found ways to manufacture points. They turn the ball over a lot. I think if I remember correctly, this is their second highest turnover rate of the season. The other was against Lindenwood. So you can get away with that against Lindenwood, but you can't really, in March against a team like Drake. And then I think the thing that's kind of plagued them since the calendar turned to March has been their defense. Just not being sound. They've always been able to force turnovers, but they haven't really, been able to find consecutive stops. So Drake coughed the ball up, but they were also able to, when they settled in, move the ball and get good shots and get shots at the rim, and Missouri just wasn't able to kind of stop them. So not really an answer to your question about one thing, but I think that, all three things really, played a direct role.
Yeah, I know this sounds very obvious, but I mean, yesterday I thought the problems were really twofold. Number one, this Missouri team just simply doesn't get enough stops. I looked it up. In the month of March, Missouri has allowed teams to shoot over 50% from the field. You're just not beating quality opponents if they're going to shoot 50% from the floor. That's not really how this works. And I just don't think Missouri made enough shots yesterday. What kept them in the game was really free throws that they won at the line by 11. But if you're only going to make 15 shots in the game, you just didn't score enough to be able to beat a good team.
Yeah, and like that's the thing, is they've always found a way to even kind of manufacture even a few 3-point makes. I didn't really think they were going to shoot a lot of threes against Drake. I thought the focus was going to be on driving the basketball and trying to get to the rim. But they really found a difficulty, because I think once Drake kind of sensed that they were playing off, the guys who are sort of, you can kind of consider non-shooters, even though like Ant Robinson or Tony Perkins, those guys can certainly make threes. They're more inclined to drive the basketball. Mark Mitchell is a great example of a guy who, if he's shooting 3-pointers, you're probably okay with it. So you can back off those guys and you can try to clog their driving lanes. And Drake was really successful in doing that. Missouri, struggled to have those clean pick and roll exchanges or dribble handoff exchanges. Credit to the Bulldogs for their defense and sort of gumming that up a bit. But I think as much as you credit Drake, you also have to sort of point to the flaws of the Tigers and what they've sort of struggled with in the last few weeks. I think for Missouri fans, a lot of us were kind of hopeful that the SEC tournament was sort of a way for them to sort of say, all right, we're fixing some of our problems, that we've had, in the last few weeks here, and, beating Mississippi State. And I thought, outside of a couple minutes of game action against Florida, I thought they played well against Florida. They certainly, put some fear into them in the second half and cut that lead down. But, like all the things that you saw against, Vanderbilt late, against Oklahoma, certainly against Kentucky, all those sort of defensive errors, they just sort of bubbled up. And when you're not making shots, it's something that can get away with you, even against, and not calling Drake a lesser opponent, but even against lesser opponents, you're going to struggle. Much less somebody, who's a quality NCAA tournament team.
Right now, we're talking to Sam Snelling of Rock M Nation, one of my favorite websites, a must go to if you cheer for the Missouri Tigers. Fans are very upset with Dennis Gates today. Certainly understandable after losing yesterday in the NCAA tournament. Where are you most critical at of his performance yesterday?
I'm not in the coach's office. I'm not, the guy who's designing, practice plans, having done those things in the past. That, I was a high school basketball coach for several years, and I think I have an understanding of, like, sometimes you think you have a good plan and you communicate your plan to your players, and then they go out and they don't execute what you wanted them to. I'm going to be a little bit hesitant to directly criticize a coach on a specific game. And I'm going to be a lot more probably forgiving for Gates, because one, he's still a young basketball coach. I mean, a lot of people forget that, Ben McCollum this is not his first go around. He's been coaching basketball for 25 years, been a head coach for like the last 15 years, something like that. Dennis Gates is on year six. So I think he's still figuring out who he is. And I think what you do is you look at year to year. And I think if you're a Missouri fan, you should be very pleased with, with what Gates has done in his three seasons at Missouri and the way he's sort of fixed problems as he's gone. And he certainly has a big off season to fix more problems. But overall, I think if you'd have told me that at the beginning of the year that Missouri would have, finished 20th in KenPom, been a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament, beaten five, AP top five teams, I think by all stretches you would consider that season a success. The way it finished is obviously sour, and I think that if you're in the coach's office, then I think that those are the things that they're probably talking about today. And it's certainly those are the things that they're going to have to talk about when they go into the transfer portal, what they're looking for as far as fixing their problems. But see that one of the things that I kind of looked up, and I had a post go up on Rock'em Nation today, my annual, once the season ends, I always say rest in peace, Missouri basketball for the year. So everybody should kind of go check it out. But, from after they or the game, including the game that they beat Kansas, all the way up until the end of February, Missouri was the sixth best team in the country. You can go look that up on barttorvik.com. There were five other teams in the country who were playing better than Missouri through that stretch. The beginning of March and through today, Missouri dropped to 76th. That's up to 72nd. I guess a few more results poured in and gave them a little bit of a bump. But they're 1-5. And the big thing is, their offense wasn't great last night, but overall it's been okay. Their defense dropped to 207th. And so I think if you're Coach Gates and if you're that coaching staff, what you're doing is you're looking at, what changed from mid-December to the end of February, beginning of March, that caused this team to kind of go into that funk. And what can we do to sort of fix that next season?
Right now, we're talking to Sam Snelling here for a couple more minutes, who covers the Missouri Tigers. What do you think Missouri needs to go out and look for in the portal? There's a decent foundation for Missouri for next season. Now, you never know what's going to happen with the portal. Like, you can lose your own players, but you got Anthony Robinson, you got T.O. Barrett, you have Mark Mitchell coming back for next season. You've got a foundation of a team that can finish in the upper half of the SEC, and now is the work. You got to try to replace Bates. You got to try to find some size with Joshua Gray now moving on. You got to find some shooting with Caleb Grill. What do you think Missouri needs to look for in the portal to keep this going and build on what they did this season?
Well, one thing I think they're really, really going to be looking for is either like a scoring point guard or combo guard to sort of go with Anthony Robinson. I think it would be in their interest to find somebody who is a little bit more of an alpha. I think this season, if you would have a critique as Missouri had a lot of really good pieces, guys that can get you 20 points on a night, but they didn't really have anybody who was going to get you 20 points every night. And there's a difference. I would sort of refer to it as like the 13, 14 point mark in the transfer portal. You see these guys entering the portal and they're like, oh, they average 14 points at whatever mid-major school. And to me, that's a complimentary piece because that guy is a guy who's going to get 22 points one night. He's going to have six the next. Where you want to start looking for is this guy an alpha scorer or not is if they're scoring 18, 19, 20 points a game, because that's a guy who's going to be more consistent. And so that's, I think, the guy that they're going to be looking for, somebody on the perimeter who can handle the ball, who can give you consistent production on a nightly basis, which is something I think they missed. Very clearly, yeah, they're looking for somebody who can replace Josh Gray. I think they do like what they have in Peyton Marshall and Trent Burns. But young bigs are young bigs, and their development path can be erratic, to say the least. So you want somebody who can at least kind of give you 15 to 18 minutes a night, quality rebounder, scoring, all that kind of stuff. You know, and then I think as a backup, you know, they'll probably be looking for a wing shooter. You know, Jacob Cruz is coming back thanks to Diego Pavia rule. You know, he gets another year of eligibility. I think his role is largely going to stay the same. He'll be a guy coming off the bench. He'll be able to kind of space the floor. Hopefully he can be a little bit more consistent in his shooting, consistent in his defense. But I think they're happy to get him back. Less things you have to find in the portal. You know, but somebody who can kind of step into that grill role. So they have a lot of work to do. I don't think we'll see any big defections. I think, you know, you mentioned Ant and Mark. Those guys are certainly going to come back. The freshmen, by all accounts, seem to be really bought into what they're doing. I think like Honor Batang, a lot of fans are worried about him. He's a guy who sort of figures into a much larger role next year. He's kind of bought in. I really like what you got from T.O. Barrett. So I think you're right. And the foundation is solid. If you add the right one or two pieces this year, you could really contend for like a top four spot in the SEC. There is a lot of turnover happening at the top of the league and including, you know, the top four teams, Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn, Florida, all those schools are losing a lot of senior guards, a lot of senior players, and that turnover is going to kind of open up a path for somebody like Missouri if they can get the right pieces together.
That is Sam Snelling joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work covering the Missouri Tigers for Rock M Nation. I highly encourage you to check the website out if you are a fan of the Tigers, not just basketball. Also, as spring football is about to start, as Missouri tries to have another great season in the SEC. Sam, I really appreciate you guys' work, man. Thanks for popping on today.
Thanks, C-Dot. Anytime.
Absolutely. That is Sam Snelling joining us on the show today. Really good stuff as we are recapping the Missouri Tigers season as they have been eliminated from the NCAA tournament. All right, we'll get back to basketball here coming up in a bit. Let's talk about the top story right now in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers went to go visit the Steelers facility. He was up there smiling, taking pictures. We can call this an official visit. Now in 2025, we know that you can do this on Zoom, but Aaron Rodgers went up there, shook some hands, kissed some babies. Now, he did leave without an offer. So Aaron Rodgers has not signed on to do anything with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he has gone up there to meet with the Pittsburgh Steelers. A report says that Mike Tomlin has been the strongest advocate for bringing in Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. He wants it to happen. And with Rodgers in the building, we believe that a deal could come to fruition. Now, let's see. I think we know enough about Aaron Rodgers that I can tell you how this is going to go. Aaron was up there. Aaron listened. Aaron looked around. He asked some questions. He's now about to go home and he's going to evaluate things. I also think that it has been pretty clear that teams are not rushing Aaron. If you are in the Aaron Rodgers business, like I believe the Steelers obviously are, I think the Giants are still in that business. I think the Minnesota Vikings, regardless of what they say, if Aaron says tomorrow, I want to be the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, I think they would happily accept. I think all of those programs are happy to give him a little bit of time to think. Now, I still maintain that I think the Steelers are the best possible option for him. Some of it is selfish. I'll admit that. It's best for me and this profession if Aaron Rodgers joins a program like the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're telling me that right now their locker room can have Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Mike Tomlin, and they can have George Pickens in there? Hey, HBO, you don't need to go anywhere else. Go to Pittsburgh this year. That's where we want you to be. I want Hard Knocks Pittsburgh Steelers edition. Now, I don't think we'll get it because, A, the Jets have done it already with Aaron Rodgers, and we saw that the Steelers did it in the in-season one, so I don't think the Steelers are going to get it. But that is the team I would want to have Hard Knocks if he ends up being the quarterback. This does feel like a little bit of a desperate move in my mind if you're Pittsburgh. Now, some of it I just think is fear. Pittsburgh drafted a quarterback a couple years ago in Kenny Pickett. It did not work, and now you're trying to figure it out. But it feels like right now the Steelers are just a more mature version of what the Colts were after the Andrew Luck. You had Ben Roethlisberger. You had your quarterback. You lost him. You tried a couple of different ways to try to figure it out, and you have been unable to kind of find your footing. Isn't that what Pittsburgh's been?
Well, you had Mitch Trubisky, and then you had Kenny Pickett, and then you had Russell Wilson, and then you had it just you're trying a bunch of different things to see if it works. The 41-year-old coming off the torn Achilles 18 months ago, he ain't the answer to your problems. And if you look at the AFC is defined by young, talented quarterbacks. Look at the conference. Mahomes, Herbert, Allen, Jackson, C.J. Stroud. Where does a 40-something-year-old fit into the mix? This feels like a losing proposition if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know that Pittsburgh's always going to have a relatively high floor. I don't think that Pittsburgh is winning 5 games next season if they have Aaron Rodgers. Are they winning 11 games? Are they winning the division? Do we look at them as being a genuine contender and a team that could possibly make a run in the postseason? I don't believe that to be the case, but the Steelers seem to have their eye on who they want to be their starting quarterback, and they seem like they really want Aaron Rodgers to lock in and be their quarterback. All right, Rob, let's do this. Let's go through what has happened so far in the NCAA tournament and give our thoughts. I want to remind you guys that our tournament coverage is brought to you by our friends over at Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. Take it away, Rob.
All right, Carrington, as we start our look around the bracket from earlier today, the first slate of games, the first session, as I like to say, is going on. We have three games that have gone final. We'll start with the first one. The Baylor Bears, they beat the Mississippi State Bulldogs by 3. They are marching on. Another SEC team takes a loss. Baylor, though, marches on.
Yeah, I thought this was one of the more exciting games of the NCAA tournament. I know that people are going to use this as a referendum on the SEC. We're doing that with Mississippi State to finish 8th in the league. I think we're kind of going overboard now in the SEC. Now we're judging the SEC off Georgia, Missouri, and Mississippi State. Those aren't teams that we thought could actually do something in this tournament and actually win it. But Baylor, with a lottery pick, a top 5 pick in the NBA draft, they won a coin flip kind of game. Let's see if Baylor can make another run. If they can get another win in this NCAA tournament, it's certainly going to be a lot harder. They're going up against a 1 seed next.
Another game that has gone final, a 2 seed in advance and surviving advance a little bit too, is Alabama did hold on. It looked a little bit shaky for a little bit there as they were taking on Robert Morris, but the 2 seed Alabama marches on in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by this, especially because Alabama has been playing better basketball the last handful of weeks or so. And, I mean, just look at the teams that even that they've lost to. I mean, their last 3 losses were to Tennessee, Florida, and Florida. I mean, we're talking about you being competing against 1 seed. You've been competing against 2 seeds, and then you came out today and absolutely sleepwalked against Robert Morris. Now, I don't want to overreact to this one game, and maybe you just thought, we don't got to come out with the energy today. We can just roll the ball out there, and we're going to win, and you found yourself in much more of a dogfight than you had anticipated you being in. But I would say that Alabama probably put in one of the more lackluster round one efforts from the winning team. As you're right, this game was close 35 minutes into the game. It's not supposed to be that when you're a team that people think can win the NCAA tournament.
Now, the final game that has gone final, it's another Big 12 opponent, a snoozer, as Iowa State, the 3 seed in the South region, throttled Lipscomb 82-55, setting up for a potential interesting matchup around 2, though, Carrington. Iowa State, without their second leading scorer, will face either Ole Miss or North Carolina.
Yeah, I think that could be one of the better games of round 2. Iowa State's just a really good team. Their coach has done a really good job. I would say he has been really the blueprint of how quickly you can turn things around in the transfer portal. And you know that Iowa State team, they're deep, they're talented, they can get up the court and run. Not surprised that they took care of business today against Lipscomb, but you're right. They're going to go up against either an Ole Miss team that is a little bit underrated in this NCAA tournament, or a North Carolina team that sounds very crazy is going to continue to play with house money. No one wanted us to be in this tournament anyway. And now look at us. We find ourselves with a chance to go to the Sweet 16. So if you're looking for a game to kind of circle for the second round, I think that could be one of them. Iowa State going up against either one of those other teams from a major conference.
two quick games that are in action right now. I guess Vanderbilt just tipped off, but it's 18 minutes left in the first half. Duke is all over Mount St. Mary's, not surprisingly, but also the 12 seed Colorado State at the under 12 media timeout in the second half is up by 6 over Memphis. Remember, they were favored in Vegas over the Memphis Tigers. They lead by 6 in the under 12 media timeout.
Yeah, they also had a better KenPom rating than the Memphis Tigers as well. Shout out to Colorado State. Kyan Evans, a Dorino Award winner from Staley High School, played with Cam Manyau. That was on the show a couple of days ago. Played on the Drake Bulldogs. He is a starting point guard for the Colorado State Buffaloes, or what are they, the Rams? They're
Rams,
the Rams.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to them. Shout out to Colorado State. I actually have not got a chance to watch a whole lot of that game, but I will definitely turn it on here. But shout out to Colorado State, who they were a 1.5-point favorite in their matchup against the Memphis Tigers. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to continue to bounce back and forth between MU and KU. College basketball season is winding down here, at least on The Drive. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, I have a question to ask Missouri fans. We'll get to that in a bit. We're going to continue to bounce back and forth between Missouri and Kansas. Both of those teams found their season come to an end yesterday in a round one loss in the NCAA tournament. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of the show, Matt Tate. He covers KU for R1S1Sports.com. He has been a long time coverer on the beat for the Kansas Jayhawks. Matt, how you doing today, my man?
I'm good, man. Rough times in the hood, though, huh? Missouri out, KU out. It's not pretty. That was wild. But if you looked at the bracket, we all saw it coming, I think, didn't we? Both sides?
I mean, I at least thought Missouri was going to get at least past the first round of the NCAA tournament. I told you that I thought KU was going to win. I am a little surprised that both teams lost.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I thought you were afraid of Drake, though, right? Weren't you?
I was afraid of Drake, and yeah. Almost all of my fears ended up coming true about what happened yesterday.
Fair enough, man. Yeah, it was a rough night. They played at the same time and everything. It was the other fan base couldn't even take joy in watching the other one lose. You know, it was about a worst case scenario for both sides.
So let's start with this. I thought the last 3 minutes of this game, I don't know if you could have a more fitting end to the Kansas basketball season for this year. This KU team had a 67-64 lead. After that point, they had 5 turnovers the rest of the way. They made 1 shot the rest of the way. And Hunter Dickinson had one of the worst turnovers that KU has had this entire season. That's just kind of how it's gone for the Jayhawks this year.
100%. I mean, they struggled with execution, you know, throughout games, really, but especially at crunch time, at game point, as Self says. And you know, they had that game, man. They got down 11, and they found a way to fight and scrap, and they looked pretty good doing it and got the lead, and they had total control. Even though the score didn't look like total control, you felt it in the building. It was Kansas's game to lose. And then they went out and lost it. So you nailed it. I mean, the way this season went, the ups, the downs, all the things that plagued them throughout the year, you know, giving up offensive rebounds, executing down the stretch, turnovers, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, all those things sort of reared their head in the final 3 minutes there. And it's exactly right. It's perfectly fitting. And on top of that, losing in the first round is probably – a fitting in for this team too, because it's the most losses that Bill Self team has had at Kansas. So, you know, teams that do that don't go very far, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate because, like in a lot of games this year, they did play well at times, really well at times, but man, they just, the classic thing with this team is they just never quite had enough. And obviously that was the case last night.
What are you hearing about KJ Adams? He has been a guy who has played hard consistently. He has represented the program and the university very well. Very heartbreaking to see his career end with an injury the way that it did last night.
Yeah, that's about as unfair as it gets, man. Wonderful kid, wonderful family. I think, you know, it's obviously an Achilles deal, and it's obviously very serious. There's almost no way it's not what we all think it is. Haven't heard officially yet, but I think in some ways that was you don't want to say good by any means, but it allowed that team to take its mind off of what happened with the loss and the disappointment losing in the first round and the choking down the stretch, because everyone in that locker room was all about KJ after the game. I mean, yeah, they were hurt they lost and they know it was over and all that, but bigger things on their plate at that point, because that's their brother, that's their guy. They've been around him, some of them, for a long, long time, and man, they were hurting for him. So I think I got to 7 or 8 different dudes in the locker room and just allowed them to kind of give me their thoughts on watching that ending for a guy that gave everything he had to KU. And, you know, in addition to just everybody saying it was brutally unfair, there was some pretty touching thoughts in there. I mean, one kid said, "I cried extra tears for that." You know, it hurt him. It hurt him big time. And so maybe that hurt and feeling for someone else took some of the edge off the loss, but at the same time, it's kind of piling on. So, yeah, just brutal, man. I mean, really, really, really sad, because, you know, as much as his season would have been over today anyway, he should have woke up today thinking about, okay, it's time to get to work, because he wants to play professionally. He wants to get paid. He wants to make it to the NBA. And, you know, it's hard to do, and certainly no guarantees, but at least he could have put the work in and got after it and done what he's done his whole life, you know, and now it's all about rehabbing that thing, whatever the injury is. So really, really sad ending for sure.
Right now we're talking to Matt Tate, who covers the Jayhawks for R1S1Sports.com. You remember that scene on Blue Chips after the really disappointing season that Nick Nolte is in the office and he's saying, "I don't care if we got to stay here all night. Let's recruit these kids. Let's up the talent on the roster." I imagine that Bill Self and his staff, guys that he has been around, guys that he trusts, they had a similar conversation. What do they need to go get in the portal? He talked about changing their philosophy on the portal. This is a team that's losing a lot of veteran experience. You are not replacing all of that with freshman players. You're going to have to recruit some juniors and seniors and some guys that are coming from the transfer portal. What kind of players do they need this offseason?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, you know, a little bit of everything, really. I'll go one step farther than that, because, you know, obviously they're going to need 3-point shooting, and they're going to need size, and they're going to need all the things you need for the X's and O's of the game. But I really think when he talks about reevaluating how they attack the portal and how they work there, I think it's character. I think it's really vetting these guys and making sure you're getting who you know you're getting. Those dudes didn't fit this year. They didn't fit the system. They didn't fit each other sometimes. You know, they fought through it. They tried to stay as tight as they could and, you know, bonded as best they could and all that stuff. But it was very apparent that there was something missing. Usually you play together and you start working through that, and then you come together, right? But just never happened with these guys. So I think as much as looking for guys that can shoot from distance and a secondary ball handler, you know, and good size and all that stuff, I mean, I just think he's got to, and he's going to really just make sure he's looking at the guys that play his style, and that doesn't mean X's and O's style. That means they're dogs. That means they're tough. That means you think back to the East Coast era of Bill Self basketball with the Morris twins and Sharon Collins and Jamari Traylor from Chicago and Tyshawn and Thomas Robinson. And, you know, those guys aren't out there just waiting to come to Kansas, not necessarily, but they're out there. And you got to go find them, because those are the guys that he's always won with. Those are the guys he relates to. Those are the guys who get his style of coaching. And you don't have to have 12 guys like that. I guess the limit next year will be 15, and KU will have 14 because they'll be paying that one final scholarship penalty. But, you know, you don't have to have 14 of them, but it's got to make up your core, and it's got to be, you know, the sort of solid foundation of what the whole team is about, because other guys can follow that, those types of guys, those types of leaders, those types of dogs, and those guys can lift other guys up too. So yeah, there's definitely pieces that they'll need to make sure that they have what they have and what they need to run what they want to do. But man, it's so much more about just who these guys are rather than, you know, what their skill set is.
That is Matt Tate joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for R1S1Sports.com, recapping the KU season that came to an end yesterday with their loss to Arkansas. Matt, you know I'm a big fan of you, big fan of your work, man. It was great to catch up with you these last couple of weeks talking Kansas basketball, man. We look forward to catching up with you when football season rolls around.
Hey, man, feelings mutual, and I appreciate that very much. You know you got me anytime you need me, and portal opens on March 24th, so let's get after it. Going to be fun to follow.
Absolutely. That is Matt Tate joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for R1S1Sports.com. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, maybe I will put on a little bit of a cape for Dennis Gates, but I feel like people are being a little bit unfair towards Missouri as head coach. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.